Hi, I'm Jack Spirko. Welcome to my first podcast on the subjects of survivalism, sustainability, and living a more financially responsible economic life. This first podcast is really just to give you an idea of how I'm going to conduct this podcast, what to expect from it, and what my main goals and objectives are. I probably won't go very long. I really don't know. I have no script, and I really have no plans to have scripts in the future. First, the way that I'm going to be recording this podcast. Every day, I drive roughly 50 miles to my office and 50 miles back to my home in Arlington, Texas. That's about 2 hours a day that are completely wasted. I'm going to try to end up with 15 to 30 minutes of recording a day during that trip. If you're one of the big eco-freaks out there, don't worry. I happen to drive an incredibly fuel-efficient vehicle. It's a Volkswagen Jetta diesel that gets about 44 miles to the gallon the way I drive it. And if you were a baby, you could probably push that baby up to about 50 miles an hour. I'm not big on the carbon evil footprint industrial thing. I think we have some real problems. We're going to be addressing those as I do these podcasts. But this is not going to be your podcast that tells you how everybody with a truck is evil and everybody with a hybrid is good. This is going to be a more practical, down-to-earth podcast about the coming changes to our economic system and our supply and distribution systems and how you can prepare for those changes and how you can anticipate what to expect. And even if things stay relatively, let's call them okay. And okay in this nation would be, you know, 75-80% of the people can provide themselves what they need, and you know, 20% are living the way 5% live today. I think this nation would actually accept that in time. And, you know, we may end up as a nation accepting that as being okay, and that may make this system work, you know, quote-unquote, a little bit longer, and it may not. We'll see. But the things that I'm going to talk about and the advice that I'm going to give and the scenarios that I'm going to lay out are not just designed so that, you know, you can be a tinfoil hat wearing freak, as I call it, hiding in a bunker somewhere with 10 years of shelled pinto beans and rice in 5 gallon buckets. They're designed so that you can begin living the lifestyle that you envision yourself living in that world today, even if that world never comes. And what I mean by that is a lot of people that are into the survivalist mentality, that are into the preparedness mentality, that are into the eco mentality, a lot of these folks come from different worlds. Some are trying to save the manatees and the whales, and they think that every time you burn a drop of fossil fuel, you're killing the planet. Some people are very deep into their religious and spiritual beliefs and think that it's inevitable that we're going to have a giant pimple pop, so to speak, on the face of the planet. Some people are just very rugged individuals that are very sad at the way that their government has turned out, because our government was not supposed to fill all these roles that it's filling today. They want the government smaller. But all of these people, if they really take an interest in some aspect of preparedness, survivalism, environmentalism, self-sufficiency, have one thing in common. In their hearts, in their deepest yearnings, they actually, in a way, want to see this stuff happen. They want to see the end. And I don't mean they want to see the end in a fireball apocalypse. What I mean is they want to see peak oil. They want to see it happen. They want to see all these cars not be on the road every day that I'm surrounded with every day. And I got to admit it, a little bit of me does too. They don't want to see the unfortunate consequences, the people that will die. And people, folks, in this type of scenario, there will be people that die of things that they don't die of today. Illnesses and diseases that are easily treated will spread faster. There'll be less medical care available. There'll be less transportation available. If we have a true peak oil crisis, we're going to have problems with water. People don't think about all the petroleum that goes into that. So there's a huge negative consequence that I don't think anybody really wants. But the mentality is, you know, if this thing popped, I could quit that corporate job, and I could just move out in the hills somewhere in some farming community, or move out in the hills somewhere alone, and, you know, I would be free of the obligations of society enough to be able to live the way I really want to live. Well, my goal is to help you figure out if that's what you want, how to live that way today. How, if the economy stays great and everything stays wonderful and everything recovers and we go through another cycle like we've seen repeatedly in the past, you know, we were all going to die and the peak oil was going to happen in the 70s and we had gas rationing and it didn't happen and things got better. They say it's different this time around, it may be, but we've seen things like this come and go. Y2K was going to kill us all. People ran out, bought generators, and stocked up on milk-served food, and bought silver and gold coins, and you name it, they did it. And guess what happened? Nothing. Nothing at all happened. I mean, there was a lot of work that went into preventing it, but even if a lot of things had gotten missed, I mean, we were talking about things like the electrical grid failing. That probably wasn't going to happen. Somebody might have got a bill for 99 years of service, but, you know, we weren't going to have the grid fail over Y2K and things like that. So we've seen the alarmist, and we've seen the other side, and we've seen an amazingly resilient American economy come back over and over and over again. So my point is, don't sit here and think you're going to do these little things to prepare for the eventual destruction, and then that somehow when the destruction comes, it's going to be easier for you to go find that homestead out in the hills. The easiest way to get that homestead in the hills is today. Today you have the ability to work hard and earn lots of money in this system, which I don't like the system myself. I think it's very predatory, and it's designed like we're all gerbils on a wheel, and the system's designed to keep us going in return for some pellets. The deal is you can get some extra pellets right now. You can take second jobs. You can do whatever it takes to earn money. And I'm going to, in later podcasts, show you how doing something like saving up, let's say, $50,000. With $50,000, how far that can really go to putting you into a completely and totally self-sufficient lifestyle. And I'm here to tell you that a single guy living on his own, working really hard with the goal of saving $50,000, can in 24 months, no matter what your current situation is, end up with $50,000 in cash. About the only way that's not true is if right now you have $50,000 in unsecured debt. If you have $50,000 in credit card debt today, folks, you're in deep trouble. You're really going to need this podcast. We're going to talk about some practical things you can do to get out of debt. But that's going to be a problem. But if you're 20 years old, 22 years old, 25 years old, young man or young woman that wants that independent lifestyle, $50,000 in 2 years is nothing. Between working a regular job and doing things with your extra time instead of going out and blowing money and going to clubs, like delivering pizzas and burning some more fuel, right, or tending bar or waiting and taking a second part-time job, working really hard, cutting your expenses to the bone with the understanding that in just a couple of years you'll have complete independence and freedom, you can have that. That's the type of thing that we're going to talk about. Because what I want is as many people as possible to create that independent lifestyle, that self-sufficient lifestyle, where you're growing some of your own food. There's people out there that want to grow 100% of what they consume. They want to hunt and fish and grow some small livestock and then plant the rest and have a root cellar, and they want to go all out and they want to be 100% completely self-sufficient. It's hard. It's difficult. It's doable, but very, very few people have actually done it. We look back to the way America was 100 years ago, and we think that's the way people were. They weren't, folks. People were not 100% self-sufficient in 1870. They weren't 100% sufficient in 1820. There were smaller communities. Things were more regional, and one grower would share crops with another grower, and they would be regionally sufficient or self-sufficient at a community level. We're going to talk about how to do that, how to reach out to your neighbors, how to find other people like yourself that think that way, not to want to live in some, you know, weird commune where everybody eats lima beans every day, but simply want their own place but are willing to share and exchange resources. Maybe you're really good at growing two or three crops and they're really good at growing two or three other crops, and instead of trying to grow those six yourself, you each grow three, and it's easy for you to produce surpluses, and you change and exchange them. That's one type of regional self-sufficiency adjunct. And we're going to talk about how you can stage this, where you can save up enough money to kind of buy that little homestead somewhere to get started. You can go there, maybe start out working a normal job in that little community. How to find places that are, you know, away from the big metropolitan areas that are going to be most susceptible, but close to smaller little communities that are better suited to withstand these problems, and how to find a place that's far enough away from those to, even if they have a meltdown, you're kind of insulated. And, you know, maybe you end up there and you start off by working a job, and you continue to build up your cash reserve because you're living as debt-free as possible, and you're beginning to create this self-sufficient environment, and how to eventually become as self-sufficient as you desire, be that 100%, 70%. And what I'm here to tell you, folks, is if Americans would stay out of debt and become 50% self-sufficient, you don't need much. You don't need much money if you're 50% self-sufficient. You know, you need some money for transportation, however that's going to work out in the future, however you're going to get around, some money for some entertainment, because life is worth enjoying. I'm not one that believes we should all live hand-to-mouth. And that's really it. And that's what this podcast is going to be about. So this introduction maybe went a little longer than I planned. Again, remember that this podcast is being done on a daily basis as I drive to and from work. An hour and a half sometimes in the morning, maybe 2 hours in the afternoon. I'm not going to be doing a lot of editing, so you're going to hear some mistakes and whatnot. And I would like to really, as quickly as possible, and I don't even have a website set up for this podcast yet. I haven't even decided what I'm going to call it yet. But I would like to, as soon as I get that done, I'm going to make this podcast the first one that's prominent so people can just understand what the podcast is about. I want your feedback. I want your questions. I want your ideas. And I even want your participation. If you can put together small audio files, send them in to me. I will splice them into my shows. If you want to do them in the forms of like calling questions, just make a recording and send me a question. There'll be a place on the side where you can email me things like that, or email me a text question, give me a suggestion, suggest somebody that I can get information from, or sites that I can recommend, anything like that. I want this to be a group effort, and I want to know what you want to hear about. So hopefully that's a great introduction to my podcast, and hopefully it helps you get to know me a little bit better. Again, I'm Jack Spierko, and together we're going to figure out how to make life better for you if times get rough, or even if times don't.